Satan may accuse us, but he cannot condemn us. He may tempt us, but he cannot condemn us. He may hate us and wish to do evil to us, but he cannot condemn us. We are reviewing the five pillars of Christian assurance as set forth in Holy Scripture, Romans 8, verses 31 to 39. To this point, we have investigated three truths which assure the heart of the person who is trusting the Lord Jesus. They are expressed in the text in the form of questions. Who can overcome us when God stands in our place to face our foe? Now that's based on the truth of verse 31 that God substitutes for us in all spiritual things. Second, who can deprive us of needed resources when God provides for us? That's based on the truth of verse 32 that God does provide for us. Third, who can judge us guilty when God declares us justified? That's based on the truth of verse 33 that God justifies the person who trusts Jesus. And then the fourth question, who can condemn us when Christ intercedes for us? And that's based on the truth of verse 34 that Christ intercedes for us. Romans 8:34 sets it forth in these words. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The blessed assurance of that verse can be stated in one sentence. The only one who can condemn us is actually pleading our cause. What a reason for rejoicing in the Lord. But again, the text recognizes a very real danger. There is a certain fact recorded in Holy Scripture that some people will be condemned. Jesus said he would say to some, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. To others will be assigned the terrible fate of outer darkness, everlasting punishment, and the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. And that's what is meant as the fate of those who are condemned. Condemnation comes on sin. The person who chooses to remain in sin, rejecting the offer of salvation in Jesus Christ, has certain condemnation ahead. Jesus said, He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, what a solemn fate, what a terrible danger, what a fearful destiny. There is hope, however. When one comes to condemn us, which means to judge against us, we have a fourfold area of defense. Now hear the text again. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, a rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now here's the four areas of our security. One, Christ died for us. Two, Christ is not dead now, but is risen again and is alive on our behalf. Three, Christ is at the right hand of God, seated in heavenly places. And four, there in heaven, Christ is speaking on our behalf before the Father, interceding for us. Now that is all the hope of assurance that a Christian needs. Jesus does not intercede for us because God hates us or is angry with us. He said that was not the purpose of his intercession because the Father himself loves you. But Jesus intercedes for us because we are a part of him and can only come to God through him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so he intercedes for us to assure us that we can come to God who loves us. The essence of Christian salvation is that the person who was dead in sins, cut off from God because of sins, is now alive to God, that is able to come to God and be accepted before him in peace and love. As the death of Jesus paid the price for redemption, so the life of the risen Christ guarantees salvation for the believer. Romans 5:10 expresses it in these words, For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. There is represented the twofold ministry of Jesus on earth in behalf of sinners. While he was here in human flesh, he died for us and rose again. Now, all hope of salvation rests on that fact. The fact is sure, and our salvation is certain. Jesus ascended back to heaven at the conclusion of his earthly ministry and was crowned Lord over all Lord and kings over all kings. He is sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high right at this moment. Every request he makes to the Father is granted immediately and unhesitatingly. And he is there on our behalf to represent you and me. It is glorious, isn't it? God is concerned that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That is the significance of the ascension and the coronation of our Lord. When we understand it, our hearts will be assured before him. And so, there in the presence of God himself, Jesus makes intercession on behalf of all those who will come to God by him. Intercession. That was a technical term used in ancient times for approaching a king. It denotes a meeting with and a conversation shared. It's a proper term for us to use in reference to approaching God, but the term has a wider meaning than just prayer to God. Intercession means to meet with God on behalf of another person. It is to present petitions to God which are related to the needs or the welfare of some person or persons other than one's self. It's used in Romans 8:27. To refer to the work of the Holy Spirit before God in behalf of Christians when they pray. And it is used in Romans 8:34 to refer to the work of Jesus Christ before God in behalf of Christians at any time they approach God or when they have a spiritual need. Now, with the once crucified but now risen and ever living Christ representing us before God, who is able to condemn us there? No one. Satan may accuse us, but he cannot condemn us. He may tempt us, but he cannot condemn us. He may hate us and wish to do evil to us, but he cannot condemn us. Who can condemn us when Christ intercedes for us? No one. What a basis for Christian assurance. Father, we stand with joy in the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. How good it is to know that he who is in Christ is not condemned now and that he will never come into condemnation in the future. Thank you for the glad assurance that that gives to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.